Welcome to A Different Way of Traveling. This is a podcast where we discuss travel for persons with disabilities and special needs in South Africa and beyond with our host, Lois Strachan. Join us as we share inspiring stories of people who travel, exciting, accessible travel experiences, and showcase service providers who will accommodate those with special needs. And now, on with the show.
Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Traveling, a podcast on accessible travel brought to you by Accessible South Africa. I'm Lois Strachan. Today, we're taking you into the water as we chat to Meki Motsabi, a woman who learned to swim as a visually impaired adult. During the interview, Meki talks about the Midmar Mile, which is the world's largest open water swimming event, which takes place each year in South Africa, in KwaZulu-Natal, at Midmar Dam. And it usually has around 15,000 swimmers that take part. But rather than me giving you all the background to Meki's swimming adventures, let's dive straight into that interview. Today on A Different Way of Traveling, we're chatting to Meki Motsabi. Now, Meki, I think I should start calling you a mermaid, because what we're talking to you about today is your love of water sports. How Yes. are you doing, Meki? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. So lovely to be on your podcast. I'm so excited. I cannot wait to share my experience with you.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing what you have to share with us as well. But maybe we should take a step back and just ask, who is Meki? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. No, I'm happy to do that. So Meki is 37 years old. I am from the villages of Rustenburg. I was born and brought up in Moruleng. I'm a village girl. So I was born and brought up there, and I'm one of six children. I'm a twin to a boy. And yeah, so I grew up in the villages, moved to Johannesburg when I was 21. Yes, then since then I have been independent from my family and living in Johannesburg. And yeah, that has been briefly, I would say, it's Meki.
Great, thank you.
Yes.
And if I'm correct, you are visually impaired?
Yes, I am totally blind. Like, Eskom is done, honey. It's not even load shedding. It's real stuff. Yeah, I'm totally blind. I have no vision at all.
And you became blind as an adult?
Of course. If you like, I can share my story with you.
Tell us a little bit. That'd be great.
Okay, great. So as I said, growing up in the villages, I was perfectly normal. I was able-bodied, actually. I shouldn't use the word normal. I was able-bodied till the age of 19. And I grew up not being a sick child. I've never been sick. Healthy child and enjoying what children enjoyed. At the age of 18, I went and started to study at the university. And at the end of that year, Lewis, so I started having headaches. They were so heavy. They were like headache on my forehead. And they were so heavy, and my vision was blurred. So I thought at some stage I'll be able to see properly. But yeah, so I started having headaches and stiff neck and vomiting. And every time I would eat, I would vomit. And yeah, as a result, I lost so much weight. Oh, Lewis, I must say, I looked so sexy that time because I lost so much weight. So sudden, what the doctor said, they said I had a condition called idiopathic intracranial hypertension. So what it is, idiopathic, medically speaking, it means they don't know what causes the condition. And idiopathic means, intracranial means inside the scalp, and hypertension is elevated fluid. So, and I had meningitis-like symptoms, but it's not meningitis. So all that led to my blindness. And actually, the interesting part, Louise, is that in a period of 2 months, all this happened in a period of 2 months, and I was totally blind. And nobody saw it coming, including myself. I have never thought I'll be blind. Because I thought it was just a headache. Once the headache goes away, everything stops, life will be back to normal. That was not the case. And the doctor said, no, actually they realized later what was really happening. They were not sure. They were busy trying to treat the symptoms. They didn't realize that it was actually pressure on the spinal cord. So I actually had to do the lumbar puncture. So they say the normal pressure is 10 to 15. Mine was 41. So it was super high, super, super high. They had to do the lumbar puncture to drain the pressure, which was the most painful experience of my life. So then I remember being in hospital, Haranka Hospital, because back then in Rustenburg, they said that there was nobody who could do the lumbar puncture. I had to be referred to Harangua, which is in Pretoria. I know the hospital now is called Sefako Makatu. But back then, for you to do lumbar puncture, you have to leave Rustenburg to Pretoria. So that's why I was admitted in Sefako Makatu Hospital. And yeah, I remember the doctor saying that there might be a chance that when I do the lumbar puncture, I might have some vision, might. And I remember because the lumbar puncture was like really sore, and I was on an anesthesis. They put me immediately on that. And when I woke up, actually even woke up before then, it took me 3 hours. I think the normal time is 3 to 5, but I'm sure I couldn't wait to wake up to see if I'll be able to see or not. So when I woke up, and I remember thinking, okay, I'm awake now. So it's a moment of reality. I'm going to open my eyes. Probably I might see a light or see something. And when I opened my eyes, voila, it was just dark. And I remember I was just paralyzed of disappointment and everything else. And because I was only 19 by then, and I went through such a difficult time of my life. It was so difficult to kind of like now thinking of life being fully sighted, and now I'm totally blind. And the first blind person I've ever met, it's myself. So I've never, never seen a blind person. I have no idea what to expect. So I thought, university, I had dreams going to varsity. I'm like, I'm going to get a degree, buy a car and whatnot. And all that has gone down the drain. And now I'm blind. I know it was the most horrible time of my life. And yeah. But yeah, I went through it, and today I'm here.
And I think just that's a very brief way you went through it, and now you're here. And you've done so much since losing your sight.
Of course.
Amongst those is what we're talking about today. You learnt to swim as an adult.
Yes. Yes.
As a blind adult.
Yes.
So what water sports have you done in the last little while? Because I know it's quite you're still learning and doing new ones as we go, but what have you done so far? What water sports?
Okay, now I have swum magma. I have done surfing. I have done scuba diving. So those are the things that I've done in terms of sports. After I've learned to swim.
What was it like learning to swim after losing your sight? And as an adult, because, many of us learn when we're children, that's one thing, but learning as an adult and as a blind person.
Nochal, just to edit as a blind person. Okay, so let me just take you back how the journey began. What was the thinking behind? So I remember I used to listen to sports every Saturday, laying on my bed. And as a blind person, really, we have limited sports that we can do on our own. Most of all, the sports that I know, you need a guide or somebody else to do sports with you. So there are like very few that you can do on your own. And even when you try to exercise or something, like you cannot, I personally couldn't just take my cane and go for a walk. It's going to be tough. So I'd walk a distance or something like that. So as a result, I enjoy exercising sometimes, not all the time. And I was just thinking, what sports to do? So I remember listening to a radio, and they started speaking about swimming. And I'm like, oh, I'm interested in this. And I then wrote a letter to SwimSAN to say, guys, I'm a blind person, and I've never swum in my entire life, and I would like to learn to swim. And Suma says, like, wow, we'll be happy to teach you to swim. And yeah, that's how the journey began. So yeah, Okay. So then the journey began that way, and I was introduced to, I went to a swimming club, and when I got there, there was a guy called Damon Roberts, Coach Damon, and he's a young man, and he told me he's never taught a blind person to swim from scratch, whereas he has taught adults to swim, and he's like, we're going to just have to travel this journey together. I'm like, okay, no experience, am I going to be a guinea pig? And I said, but then at the same time, I felt comforted because at least he didn't have to compare me with anyone. So I didn't feel that pressure because every time when you do something that somebody else has done, it's always the comparison. So then for me, it was quite nice because, you know, I'm like, okay, so he's trying this with me. So it means I can be myself. I have no pressure to try to impress or something like that, or maybe So then I remember the first session we had, Lewis, and he says to me, because I had no idea what would be the first lesson. The first lesson, he says to me, I'm just going to introduce you to the water. And I said, well, I wonder how will that be, you know? And he just took my hand. Okay, well, we did the showing of how to work with me and everything else, because he has not encountered a blind person before. Then I showed him how to work with me. And he just said to me, you know, I'm just going to put you in a baby's pool. The water should be up to your knees, or a little above your knees, but I'm going to take you through the process. And he was all dressed up and ready to go into the water with me. And I remember he put me at the shallow of the pool and showed me how to jump into the pool and how to jump out. And after that, and he took my hand and we started walking in the pool. We walked from one end to another, and just for him to show me, like, really, the water is the same level and it's not that deep, so don't be scared. And I was walking super slow because I was so scared, because, you know, I've got the images of a dam or a river, like aggressive water, bruh. Not like a stable water, like a pool. So we went through, and yeah, so there was the first lesson. And I remember he just said to me, he gave me the a noodle. Hey, I hate that till today. Because it was one of the first things that I had to do. He gave me a noodle, and he's like, okay, so you're gonna float in the water, and I'll hold your hand. No, actually, he wanted to leave, and I'm like, no. He's like, okay, I'll hold your hand. I'm like, okay. And he held my hand. That was the first session. Okay, so a lot has happened in between. So we started using a board to hold on to the board, the noodle, and I hated fence since I think I used them twice, and I find that like really, you know, funny to work with, and we end up not using them. I till today I know how to swim without using fence. I can't know those things. And yeah, so he took me through the process. I used to go there once a week and would go from strength to strength. And I remember when he taught me how to breathe in the water, which I still hate till today, I swallowed water and I was like, I thought I was dying. I was gasping for air and like, oh, I was so dramatic. And he's like, no, you'll be fine. I'm like, but fine, drinking water through my nostrils and my mouth. What's so fine about it? But I didn't say that, of course. Yeah, but that was the experience. So, and I remember, you know, the things that I still remember today, you know, every time you go like kick, 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 you know, every time I hear that word, I really don't enjoy it, because those are one of the moments that I hated about swimming. Like, because you tell me to kick my legs even strong, harder. And I'm thinking, I'm kicking harder. What is harder? You know what I mean? You know, you go like, kick those legs, kick those legs. Yeah. But it was a beautiful experience. And one of the days, I remember, even with the noodle, I remember saying, I don't want this stuff anymore. So I think he was very, very, trying, you know, he wasn't harsh on me. So I had to be the one kind of deciding, I don't want this noodle anymore, and I can float. And one of the, I don't want this board anymore. And from there, he started pushing me, because I think he realized that now I was starting to get used to water, and he started taking me to a big pool, water me. And he took me to the deep end, and I'm 1.62 meters tall, and that pool at the deep end, it's, I think it's 1.8 or something like that. So it means literally when I stand, water covers me from head to toe. So I can't even stand there. Then he took me and he showed me how to stand that side and the breathing that I need to do. Oh, that was the most scariest thing ever. Yo, like water covered, because the baby's pool, you can stand. You can always stand and do your thing. But the big pool, I struggle to be integrated to it. I would swim halfway and go back into, you know, go where I go back to where I started. And because he used to put a noodle, then when I reached the noodle, I know that I have to go back. One of the stage, he removed it. I didn't realize I swam. And when I beginning to doubt, I was like almost at the other side, and he's like, you're actually almost at the other side. I'm like, what? I got fried. So yeah, I started getting used to words, and he started teaching me the coolest thing, to dive. Ooh, love it. I love to dive. First time he taught me how to dive, I'm like, why didn't you teach me this from the first day? You had to learn to swim first. And oh, I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoy diving. Because you can just let go and just trust that everything will be fine. Like, you have no control. Like, you're... So, and something I actually enjoy about water is that it's an independence that I have in the water. Because when I'm on land, especially on an open area, I have to use my cane. I have to use something to help me. It's easier to hold on to somebody or something like that. Whereas when I'm in the water, it's just me. I can be myself. I can just be on my own, only water supporting me. And oh yeah, one of the lessons I've learned about water is that don't fight water. Because every time I would try to fight water to hold on to it or something like that. So one of the lessons I learned is that don't fight water. And what I understood from there is that water is your friend. Just be with the water, exist with the water. Don't try to fight the water and come against it, because it will definitely show you. It'll show you flames. So yeah, the more you relax and just be with the water, it will do you good. And when I learned to float, it was also the most beautiful thing. I still float till today after a swim. The last thing I do, I just float. I enjoy floating so much. It's so peaceful and I can just relax in the water. So I love water. I think it's the worst thing. People have been keeping such a nice thing from me all these years because I learned to swim like three going for 4 years now. And yeah, so since I've been in the water till today and I've been enjoying it.
It sounds like you had a really, really good teacher.
Yeah.
But I want to, so from learning to swim, swimming in a fairly safe environment in a pool, to swimming the Midmar Mile, tell me about that journey. What made you make the decision to try and swim the Midmar Mile?
Okay, so you know swimmers, man, because now as a swimming pool, it's a swimming club. So there are other people that come there. They speak about Midmar, how cool is that? And I'm like, what? I want to do that. And my coach is like, yeah, I think you can, you'll be fine. You can do it. And I challenged myself to do it. And I had no idea what it was. I've never done it. I had no idea at all. But I challenged myself to it because I believe I can just do better. I just thought, and by the time I was just learning, I had just learned to swim for a year. And when I challenged myself for Midmar, and I had a, because I remember it was, the following year I was going to swim Midmar, which is in Feb. And I started practicing for Midmar. I pushed. And in order for you to swim Midmar, you need to swim an open water event. To qualify so I had to do an open water experience, which was in Crystal Moon Challenge. It's somewhere in Joburg close to Lance area. We went to the dam there to go swim there. I was so nervous. I remember because now it was the first event I've participated with other people. So I remember getting to the place, there were so many people, and I think I was the only blind person there. And okay, so when we got to the water, it's in a dam, and it's the first time I've ever swam on a place where there's nothing to hold on to. Because normally when I swim at the pool, I swim against the wall, so I can stand anytime and hold on to the wall. And there's always a rail on the other side. You can always stand and lean on it or whatever. Should I swallow water, I can always hold on to something and cough and stuff like that. But now when you come to the dam, there's absolutely nothing. This sort of thing, I think. And I was thinking, because I swam with my coach, obviously, because otherwise I was going to swim screen. I was going to swim back when the other people are going the other direction, because now it's an open water. There's nothing that you can, so you really need somebody to swim with so they can just push you to the right when you try to go back or something like that to push you in the right direction. So So I swam with him. I remember just going into the water, just putting my feet. Yo, I started having all the nerves. And so we walked and he said, like, go. Then, because he told me when it's time to, get into the water. And so he told me to go. But yeah. So he just said, go. Yeah, I swam breaststroke. Oh, by the way, I assume my breaststroke is the best. It's my strongest stroke. And I swim breaststroke, the very funny breaststroke you've ever seen. But yeah, I swim that. And a very, very funny freestyle. So I do a little bit of everything, of the three strokes. But then my breaststroke is my strongest stroke and is the one that is perfect. But the others, I do the funny things. I've got my own way of swimming them. Because with breaststroke, I don't want to get my head into the water. Because that experience of swallowing water, I think it really put me off. I still get scared to put water in my face into the water. So that's why I assume the breaststroke, but with the head outside. So they call it a tiny breaststroke because tiny's don't want to get their hair wet. So I'm like, I'm a tiny as well. So yeah. So then when I got to the water and it's like, okay, so are you, so you're going to start with maybe a breaststroke, then you go to back, or what you're going to do? And I said, no, I'm just going to swim back. And when, once I got into the water, oh, Luis, the most beautiful thing happened. There was nothing to hold on to. There was absolutely nothing but just water. What a beautiful thing ever. I have never experienced such a beautiful experience with the water. I just swam with nothing disturbing me, with like no wall, no rail, no nothing. It's just you and the water. And I remember finishing it, and that was also my proudest moment when I finished it, and thinking that, wow, actually I enjoy swimming in the day more than I swim in the pool, because in the pool there's a wall, there's a rail, you can only swim a lap, and the next thing there's a wall, you have to go back, and the next thing there's a wall, you have to go back, and whereas in an open water, there's absolutely nothing. So I can go with my thoughts. I can go very wild with my thoughts. I can think whatever what I think. Because whereas in a pool, I'm busy counting the laps. I'm busy being aware of getting to the other side. Because I've got things that let me know when, because there's a water pressure. When I feel that water pressure, I know that I'm almost at the other side. So I slow down because I don't want to hit my head against the wall. So all these things you've got to remember while swimming on the pool. Whereas in the dam, there's nothing of that. Well, the freedom. There's nothing that you think of. I enjoyed my time. I was actually swimming slow. My time was like really bad. But yeah, I couldn't be bothered. I was enjoying myself. So it wasn't about the competition or anything else. So I was just enjoying myself, just being and just being with the water. So that was the most beautiful thing ever. So I finished that. It was in December, I remember well. Then and automatically I qualified to swim MIDMA, and come 2019, just before 2020, just before COVID, because we swam it in Feb. And then I went and swam MIDMA. Yeah, driving down to Maritzburg. The training was a little bit intense. I was happy to do 64 laps. So with 60 laps is 1.5 kilometer, and MIDMA it's like one mile and a half, which is 1.5. But then because you know you still have to walk there and whatnot, they said for you to be ready, you have to swim like 76 laps. So I have weeks leading up to that. Oh, I swam 76 laps, and there was a day that I actually swam 80, I think twice, but I don't want to do it again. Please don't tell my coach. Yeah. So I had two people, and so I got to the start line, and but MIDMA was more fun because now I'm used to the gym because I've swum the open water. So it was more, I didn't have all the anxiety and everything. I promise you, I just enjoyed every little moment of it, because at least I know more or less what to expect it. But the difference now is that MIDMA, it's super, super full. There's so many people swimming at the same time, so many people. So we had to, I let the fast guys to go first, because they were going to just push me out of the way. So we just let them go. Then I swam, and my friend tells me that I swam past a child and other people. I got so excited when I was told that, and I swam past somebody else. I'm like, yes. But then, so I enjoyed the moment. I was going like, I kept on saying to them, I'm enjoying this. And they're like, but you got to push. I'm like, I couldn't be bothered. So yeah. So yeah, I finished my MIDMA, and the most beautiful moment coming out, everybody cherishing you and getting that medal that says MIDMA. Yay!
Having conquered the MIDMA mile, you then went on to scuba diving.
Yes.
What is that experience like for someone who is blind?
Sure. Yeah. So because I love water, because I guess I was introduced very well to the water. So that I have such a good relationship with the water. So I went scuba diving. When I had the opportunity to go scuba diving, I did. I had no idea what was scuba diving, because I've never experienced it because, coming from the villages, you don't know much about the water sports. So I had to be taken through and explained what is scuba diving. So I did it at the swimming pool, and the pool, I think it was, 5 meter deep, something like that. So I couldn't have not been able to stand because I'm 1.62. So there was not a chance. So then I was introduced to scuba diving, all those things that that comes with it, the only other thing that I love about scuba diving is the fact that they give you something to breathe through, like a tank, you know, because I really don't enjoy breathing with my face in the water. So when I discovered that, I'm like, this is so cool. I can do that. So I was introduced to scuba diving. We were taught a little language of scuba diving, because as a blind person, you'll be guided by somebody, you'll be with somebody. Now, how do you know if your tank is still okay? Your cylinder, if it still has air, are you still good? Then there's a sign that you're doing water. So the language that they call it scuba diving language, I think. And so that's a language that the language is also international as well. So I should be fine if I go to overseas and do scuba diving in terms of the language. And yeah, so the other thing was that how do you sign to say I'm not fine, I'm not feeling that good, I want to come up, I want some air or something like that. So we did that, and it was kind of like nerve breaking because there was so much to remember. Well, I thought it was so much to remember, and I was always scared that what if I get it wrong? You know, what if I'm trying to tell this guy that I want to come out and he doesn't get it, and I'm deep down there. I mean, 5 meters, So I had that little fear, at the corner of my heart, and thinking, yeah, but I think I'm going to enjoy it. But oh boy, as soon as I had all the gear on and I've got everything on, as soon as I go into the water, all the fear gone, just dropped everything. I just knew that I'm here and I'm here to enjoy. And, you know, unlike swimming, for the first time, I'm in the water and I don't have to kick and I don't have to use my strength. That's a first. And it can just be underwater. So they had all small toys, like your fish and stuff like that. And as we were going underwater, we'll pick them up. Because there was a sound that was right on the floor, like 5 meters down. And I sat there and I picked some fishes and felt them and went on and picked up stuff and filled them and just kept on showing the person that I was swimming with, I was scuba diving with, that I'm fine, I'm happy. And there was a time that he just decided we went up and just wanted to find out, am I still fine? I'm like, what are you doing? I want to go in. And he's like, no, I want to find out if you're still fine. I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I could have told you. I was a little bit like disappointed, like, no, man, I'm fine. So, I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed it. But I think it's more like a visual sport. If you're visual, you're going to enjoy it more because there's a lot to see. But just being in harmony with your mind and not having to kick or having to do anything, and you're in the water and you're just enjoying that time and floating. And yeah, that for mentally, I think that it really does a lot. You get to relax and just enjoy and just be. And I thought it was an effortless activity. Yo, Louis, I was hungry for days, but I didn't even realize that it was hunger. Like, I was hungry for days, for like 3 days. Like, I just woke up with a headache and think, what's wrong? Because I normally don't have a headache. And I realized after like 2 days or so that, because I kept on eating the usual portions. And when I Googled it and thinking that I'm feeling symptoms, and I was like a bit scared, like, what's going on? And like, oh, have you eaten? And I started eating a lot after like 2 days, and I was fine. So I learned something. When you scuba dive, you must just eat. Because when I spoke to other guys as well after like 3 days or so and told them what had happened, like, oh, we forgot to tell you that you must eat a lot. So there is that rule that when you scuba dive, you must make sure that you eat. Yeah. So yeah. So but it was the most calm and very, very calm and a beautiful experience as well.
I just want to clarify something because I'm not quite certain that I understand. So you had to learn to communicate with your dive partner. Was that using hand gestures?
Of course.
And other gestures? Because you obviously can't speak, you're underwater, you're using breathing apparatus. How did your dive partner communicate with you? Because you, as someone who's blind, wouldn't see his or her hand signals. So how did they communicate back?
Brilliant question. So you know what happened? So when you scuba dive, the guy held my hand, my left hand, right? Then my right hand, I use it to feel things and everything else. So now, for example, if you're not fine or you're not well, you will shake his hand. You know how you shake a person's hand, more or less? So he will do that. So if he wants to communicate with me, he will turn my hand and do fingers. So like, and because if I want to know if the cylinder is still there, I'll put three fingers. I can't remember how many fingers now. Then I'll put those fingers and he will turn my hand up and down like normal way where you receive. Then he will sign on them, on my hand. Then I'll get what he's saying and I'll make the sharp, you know, the sharp sign that, I got you. Then like sharp, like, you know, when you got your thumb up. And so I'll just give him a thumbs up that I heard what he said. And when he would still ask if I'm still okay, he might even tap on my shoulder, like here by my shoulder. He would do that. And I'll just give a sharp thumbs up sign. So so he would communicate it that way. That's the way that he used to communicate.
And that was all things that you needed to learn and understand before you went into the water. Okay.
Exactly. That's the thing that you needed to master. Can you see my fear now that because if you get those wrong, everything can go wrong.
You forget your signal and tell him the wrong thing.
Exactly. What if you say the wrong thing and he doesn't get you? You know? So that was my biggest fear. Like, what if I forget? What if there are lots? What if? So but then it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad at all. So actually we went as a group and I'm proud to say I was the first to be ready to go into the water. Because, you know, we started, thank you. Because we started at the shallow end and they check if you're ready and everything else. And I was calling my top coach and he just said, no, let's go. I think you're ready. And I'm like, I think I'm ready. So then we went. So I was the first to go into the water amongst my guys. And time goes quickly. You know, I couldn't believe that I've been in the water like for about 3 hours or so. But then I didn't feel like it. When I came out, I was so shocked to hear that I've been in the water for like that long. I was really, really shocked to hear. So you can't even feel time. You're just in your own world. But it's beautiful.
You know, hearing you say that, I seem to remember you saying exactly the same thing about you can't believe how fast the time went when you tried surfing for the first time recently. So maybe we should take a side step or swim and go into your experiences learning to surf. Because that was recent. That was last month.
Yes. It was almost 3 weeks ago. Yeah, it was last month. Yes. Man. I think that blew me away. It's the best thing ever. Okay, so when I had the opportunity to go surfing down in Durban, because I'm in Joburg, so we drove down to Durban and I was gonna go to the sea and surf. So I kind of like was not scared because I'm like confident in the water. So I wasn't scared of the water and everything else. But now is the waves is different from stable water. And because I remember one of the questions I was asked, because before you surf, they ask you some questions just in the preparation of surfing. Questions like, have you swam before? Can you swim? Have you swum in waves and stuff like that? And I remember saying, when they asked me, have you swum in waves? Because remember at Mi'kma, you have all these boats traveling up and down for those who might have emergency and need to jump up out of the water and stuff like that. So whenever they go past, they'll just create a wave. And I said to the surfing person, I said, unless you come there, there's waves. And they're like, no, that's not waves. Like, that's waves. Because whenever the boat will go past, I'll feel it. My friends had to even tell me when the boat was coming, because the first time I got a fright and I'm like, why is it the water, you know, like that? And they're like, oh no, it's a boat. And yeah, so from there, when the boat would come, I told them to tap me twice. I forgot to mention this, to tap me twice to let me know that it's coming. So I was kind of like ready. So then, with surfing, and they're like, okay, no, you haven't. Yeah. So then we went down to Durban, and I was given a wetsuit. Oh, I knew it was happening. I just jumped into my boat. I was so super excited. I'm like, I thought two experiences where in the beginning I was like a little bit scared and stuff like that. But this one, from the beginning, when I got on my wetsuit, I'm like, yes, it's happening. It's, yeah. So then I got on my wetsuit. It was such a struggle. My friend had to help me to get onto it, because I had no idea what the hell was going on. And so So we went, and I was given the surfboard, introduced to the surfboard as a blind person. So I felt it. I felt every, like, they showed me with my hands and knowing exactly what is what and where is what. And for me, it was, I wasn't nervous at all, to be quite honest. Couldn't wait to get into the water. Like, I really couldn't wait to the water. And the whole process of explaining what's going to happen, how we surf, because they had to teach me, because I've never done it. So it was the first. And they told me how it's going to happen. It took less than 5 minutes and we were in the water, because I really couldn't wait. And yeah. So then it was in the morning, and there was less people at the beach, and which was nicer. And I just laid on my tummy, and I was on that surfboard, and they told me, okay, so we're going to go through the wave. And so the first two times, the guy went with me, my coach went with me. And the third time, and he said, do you think you can do it on your own? I said, yes, yes. And I said, courageous. And the wave came, and oh, what a beautiful thing ever. Because the wave, you go on top of the wave and you can feel it. It just, oh man, it's so beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing. Like, it gets me, like, it, you know, your adrenaline, it's just on. Like, you give me that vibe, but I don't know how to explain the feeling. It's like so beautiful. And I remember, and I started, because the first time I went to the wave, the guy was quick to come to the other side. And the second one, I remember, it was a double wave. So I went like really far, and he took a minute or so to come. He didn't come as quick as the first time, but I wasn't even worried or scared or anything. That, where is he? Because every time he's come, he would let me know. He's like, come here, and the guy was fun as well. He would scream when the wave come. I'll scream as well, as you can tell. I'm like, yay! That's kind of nice. So I had so much fun. And I remember, and I had a fall. So he showed me how to fall. When I fall, to protect my nose, because he said mostly the board might knock my nose or something like that. So he showed me how to put my hand and cover my nose, and put the hand on the head. You know, your fingers must be in the head, and your hand must just cover your nose. And I remember I had a fall, and I forgot about all that when I fell. And she said I must let go of the board, of the surfing board. and I must just protect my nose. I must worry about myself. When I fell, I held on to the board because I was thinking, what if this thing goes and I don't get to surf again? Because I'm really having fun right now. So in a split of a second, it happened so quick. And but then for me, it was the greatest thing ever, because I was told I was going to fall. And it was almost given that people do fall. But then, you know, if you haven't done something, you always worry about how it's going to be. Yes. But then when I fell, I'm like, ah, man, that was easy. And when I fell, I held on to my board. I didn't hit my nose. And he comes and he's like, surfing wouldn't be surfing without falling. And we laughed. We laughed. And I grabbed my board. I hopped back to my board by myself now. Because now, before, he used to hold on to the board, help me to hop back. And I just grabbed it and hopped back. And we didn't, because I realized later that I didn't even let go of the board. Because I think my mind was telling me, man, I'm still having fun. You're not going to take my board away. So I hopped back and we continued. And oh, it was the most beautiful thing ever. And the fall also gave me, boosted my self-confidence, because I knew what to expect when I fall and what kind of fall would I get, more or less. So it was the most beautiful, beautiful thing. And we kept on getting nice waves, and the waves were lovely that day. Yeah, so I enjoyed it. And the hour just went, I couldn't believe it. When I said, yeah, the hour is it's over now. I'm like, what? And then, because I asked him at the end that can I just float? Because like I said, my tradition of being in the water, I always float at the end. And I was asking him, is it possible that I could just float in the sea? Which was the first as well. I've never floated in the sea. I've played in the water, but I've never floated. And he's like, oh, cool, we can do that. And we went and I floated. Ooh, and with the waves pushing me up and down. Oh, I felt like a real swimmer. Like, yes. So it was the most beautiful, beautiful experience. If I could, I'll do it today again.
So what's going to be next? Are you going to try water skiing, or are you just going to try and get back to surfing?
Sure. Okay. So because I've tried the pool, I've tried the dam, I've tried the sea. I think the river owes me. So so I'm looking at rowing. There was a time I actually even Googled rowing, just that things haven't worked out as yet. So I would love to do rowing, just to experience being in the river. And yeah, but surfing, yes, yes, top of the list. So then something that I would like to try and do is rowing. I'm really would love to do that, just enjoy the river.
Considering what you've told us today, I just have this little voice in the back of my head that's going, and once she starts rowing, the next year she'll be doing the Doozy Canoe Marathon.
Well. I wouldn't say no, but I wouldn't say yes. Yeah, we'll just see. I love being in the water. It's the most beautiful experience ever. I think it's the greatest thing I've ever done since I've got blind. Well, I've done great things, but swimming, it's water. Whew, harmony, just being there.
And the sense of freedom.
The sense of independence. The sense of freedom. The sense that, you know, you can just exist with water and just be, you know, and don't fight it, and just know what to do in the water to enjoy it. And sure. And just having water on you. The smell of chlorine. I tell you. and just having water on your back and on your feet, the whole body just being in the water is just therapeutic. It's I don't know, nothing compares to it. And I also, like, you know, I hate it. You know, when you run, you sweat. And when you do other sports, you sweat, but with swimming, you can't see yourself sweating. So I think it's a lot nicer. The water is just at peace, man. It's not going to fight you. Just need to know what to do. Don't fight water and exist with water, then you'll be fine. So, yeah. And the injuries are less compared to other sports as well. So, yeah, that's a plus.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Meki, if yes. people would like to contact you to either find out a little bit more about you or about the water sports, how can they contact you?
Okay, so I'm on Facebook, Meki Motsabi, and or you could just drop in me an email. My email address is meki.motsabi@gmail.com. I'm just going to spell it out, my name and surname. So it's just meiki.motsabi@gmail.com. So yeah, I'd love to hear from them. Wonderful. And while I enjoy sports.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Last question.
Yes.
If someone were to come to you and say, I'm visually impaired, I'm nervous about going into the water, what would you say to them to motivate them to try?
Wow. I would say, you know, the safest place as a blind person to be is water. And just to say that, you know, once you have been coached as to how to handle water, it's the most beautiful thing. So your fears are real, because I also feared, but water will never harm you. Water, especially at the pool, stable, then you just need to know what to do. Once you have been equipped with the knowledge, you'll be perfectly fine. You'd gain your sense of independence. You gain your sense of freedom as well, and enjoy yourself as well. So yes, the fears are real. I'm not going to dismiss that. I had that. But once you know what to do, once you have been coached as to what to do, you will definitely be fine, and you will enjoy it forever. And water, it's beautiful. It's amazing. Yeah, I'd say that.
I thought I should give you a brief note on the Doozy Canoe Marathon, which I mentioned towards the end of that interview. The Doozy Canoe Marathon takes place each year, also in KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa, and is a 120-kilometer canoe race taking place between the cities of Pietermaritzburg and Durban. And each year it has between 900 and 1,600 canoeists. Today's travel quote is taken from Rabindranath Tagore, who said, "You can't cross the sea merely by standing and staring at the water." And on that note, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
That's it from us for this time. You can find Accessible South Africa on the web at accessiblesouthafrica.co.za, on Facebook and Instagram at Accessible South Africa, and on Twitter at Accessible SA. You can also email us at podcast@accessiblesouthafrica.co.za. Editing by Craig Stratton using Hinderberg software. Our theme music is by Lu Chil Chow, based on a motif by Lloyd Stratton. Credits read by Musa Izulu. Thank you for joining us on A Different Way of Traveling. We'll see you next time. Until then, happy travels.